God is so good. We've been having some wondrous testimonies lately of His provision for us. It's really neat. In fact, we got a couple with us today. We have Michael and Rochelle Rumba. And they have a great testimony of deliverance that they want to share with you, and I want to share with you, and maybe I'll pop in every once in a while and add my 2 cents worth, too. But I appreciate them so much. They by the way, supply our Hidden Manna for the End Times series to the producers in VHS format. So they've been a great help to us, and a blessing. And Michael, are you there?
I am indeed. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Can you hear this all right, David?
Yes, I can. You sound good.
I'm coming through super. You may think that you're listening to somebody that's on Noah's Ark because I'm in a room full of critters here. I've got three birds, a dog, a cat, who are playing in the trash can right now in my office. And my lovely wife, Rochelle, is in here with me, and who knows what else, and we're having a windstorm. We, for those that don't know, live in the Rocky Mountains of New Mexico, so we're actually in the high desert, not in the forested, woodsy, a lot of snow, cold places, although we had snow last week in May, so it's a different kind of place. But the Lord is here, and
sure,
He looks after His folks and His critters here, as we say. We've got some interesting neighbors. But what I wanted to talk to you about tonight is something that has been a problem for my wife, Rochelle, and I, even before we knew each other, and that is the smoking business, the smoking and the use of tobacco. And when I say the use of tobacco, I would go into my history first, because I was a history reenactor, and I did Civil War history back in the 1960s. And if they didn't smoke a pipe or cigars, they rolled their own cigarettes at that time, and if they didn't smoke, they chewed. So, needless to say, to stay in character, I was addicted to tobacco in all these forms. And later, when I joined the Air Force, I was a weapons instructor, which meant that oft times I had to go into the weapons storage area where they keep munitions, and you can't smoke in there. So instead of smoking, you would light up a chew, as we would say, and, you know, you'd be in, you wouldn't be having any withdrawal problems while you're in the weapons storage area. So anyway, this all started when I was 18, which was many, many years ago. I know that sounds like a fairy tale when I say it that way, but that was back in 1970 when I first started smoking, when I first went off to college. And, of course, the college adventure wasn't such a success, but the smoking became a lifetime addiction. Now, that roughly accounts to 36 years for me, give or take. And if you think of all the times that I quit, and Rochelle and I were talking about quitting smoking or quitting drinking or quitting anything ourselves. And one of the things that we thought of in our discussion and we talked about was that you can quit doing the thing physically, but you cannot get rid of that evil that made you do it in the first place. For instance, when I drank, which has not been for many years, when I was a young drinker, I thought maybe I had fallen into the misuse of alcohol, so I told all my drinking buddies that I was going to quit for a year, and I did. And when that year was up, I celebrated it by getting drunk. So, obviously, I knew I could quit if I wanted to, so I started over again. And I think the point I'm making with that is this. If it's not for our Heavenly Father, we cannot do anything. And the more I have learned in the last 3 years attending this Bible study and talking to friends we have made through this Bible study, the more I have learned that I don't know anything, I can't do anything, and if my Father's not there, I fall on my face. There is no hope for me to get it right. And every day in every way, He shows me that. So, the smoking thing, obviously, I quit for 13 years once, and I started again. And then I quit for 3 years, and I started again. And while I was stationed on the island of Sicily, I was jumping out of airplanes with a parachute, by the way, with the Italian Army Airborne. And you can't use the old joke of why would you want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane, because that airplane was made by Fiat, so it wasn't perfectly good. But you had to go and have your heart examined, your lungs examined, and so on by an American doctor and have him sign off on certain paperwork because they didn't want you to look out the plane, see how far it was to the ground, and just drop dead. It was a very bad thing for an American to do that on an Italian aircraft. They didn't want us to pass out. And while the doctor was doing all his tests on me, he came back with some lab results, and he says, you have emphysema, and if you continue to smoke, you'll be dead in 2 years. And that sort of inspired me. And I more or less didn't smoke. More or less didn't smoke a lot. And then I got the water pick filters, and I kind of backed off a little bit. Those helped me before. I'd quit with them before. And, well, then I figured out if I chewed all the time, I didn't have to smoke at all. I could just get by chewing tobacco. And then, of course, I think it's a disgusting habit seeing somebody spit. So you just swallow the juice, you know, and you get all the good. That's what the Native Americans used to say. The white man spits out the best parts, you know, because they were users of tobacco also. Taught the white man how to use it. It was a good gift. We gave them smallpox. So, you know, it was a fair trade. But at any rate, you know, I probably poisoned my body more than I ever could. So that was the kind of addict that was listening to the Bible study in March, I think the 9th of March, when we talked about the effects, or the 19th, that's what I've got written down, the 19th of March, when we talked about the effects of tobacco on the human body and the effect on the spiritual body and the effect that God doesn't want us to do that. Our Father, who loves us and does everything for us, doesn't want us to do that. Wow, that was a concept. You know, you can't just stand there and hear that in your mind all the time. I've never once quit any kind of an addiction where I didn't have a struggle until that night. My wife, Rochelle, who is a lovely, wonderful Christian lady who you would just be in love with if you met her, was a real orphan. When she was little, her father gave her up to the state, and she went into the orphanage program, and she was like little Oliver Twist. She was an orphan. And she learned some things while being an orphan that probably weren't as good as some of us might have. She smoked at 10, mostly to impress her older friends. She'd steal a cigarette out of her daddy's pack of cigarettes. But she didn't really get started until she turned 18. And at 18, of course, she was, you know, she worked up to a pack and a half habit, not too long, you know, which is not a bad thing. She was in the restaurant business of going around traveling and setting up restaurants for people, and she was in the business of doing different restaurant kind of projects, and so she traveled a lot, and you know how you stay in the hotels and bad food and bad travel accommodations and everything else. So most folks that are in that kind of a situation probably do smoke and drink a little bit more than they would anyway. But she got up to about a pack and a half habit. When she first came to the Lord in 1970-something or other, 74, why, she quit. And when she quit, and everything worked out fine, she also wound up married to a man she didn't want to marry. And she had found the Lord, and she had given up things, and she had become a Christian. And she gave up smoking, and she didn't miss it. But she got divorced 6 years after she married this fella, and she wound up starting to smoke again. Not just one or two cigarettes a day, but right at a pack and a half a day habit. That's how addicting this evil is. And that's how much it takes out of your life. And so, throughout her life then, she has smoked for about 33 years, off and on. And the last time she tried to quit, we went to our doctor. And we all know that doctors can be very fine folks, and they can give you stuff that maybe they don't know about because they really didn't study pharmacy stuff. And so they sometimes give us things that interact wrong or whatever, but you know that happens. My doctor would be the first one to tell you that. And with this advice, she got her the patch, a good old nicotine patch. patch. And it comes on high powered, and then you kind of work your way down and you wean yourself off, because I can remember when a pack of cigarettes worked between two, me and one of my work buddies, that would last us a week. We'd both smoke 10 cigarettes a week. That was a pretty small habit. It got up to 2.5 packs a day for both of us, so it wasn't a big deal. But with Rochelle, my lovely wife, she got up to this habit. She decides to quit. She's going to use the patch. Well, it kind of worked. She gave up smoking cigarettes. But I had become a pipe smoker only by this time. And the funny part about it is, in my family history, the little album of all the things that went on, when little Michael was cutting his teeth, he didn't have one of those little things kids have stuck in their face now, or the little teething ring that you freeze. I chewed on the stem of my grandfather's pipe. And that was how I cut my teeth. And so I'd been around pipes for a long time, all my life, actually. And so my wife took up the pipe also. And so down the road we go, living up here in the mountains, in our pickup truck. And I know people probably got a view of the Beverly Hillbillies or something to that effect, because here's this lovely lady smoking a pipe, riding down the road here in her bib overalls, you know, and all the things we wear, because we're working in the garden and we ran out of steaks, so we got to go to the hardware store or the woodlot or whatever. And so Rochelle was very ashamed, one, that this would give, our father would be misrepresented if people knew we smoked. That was her major problem with all this, and the cough she had developed that she doesn't even speak about in her narrative there. But in truth, she had this real vision of our father and what our smoking, how it represented him in a very poor light, which it does. And, of course, if you don't smoke, you do have a sense of smell. If you do, you don't. You know, it works good. You don't know how bad you smell, in other words, if you're a smoker. Michael, if you're a non-smoker, Michael, like many of the people that we entertain in our home, they immediately could smell this.
Hey, Michael?
Yes?
I guess when she handed the pipe to you, it really looked bad, didn't it?
Well, you know, it was like a Cheech and Chong movie. It was one of those cases where she'd take a puff and get this thing smoking good, and then she'd pass it to me. And the real people that found that interesting were the highway patrol and the county sheriff's people going by. They thought that was kind of an interesting thing there. They wanted to investigate once or twice. So we went through all that. But the night that David Eales talked about what we probably already knew was the truth, and how this made us look to non-Christians and worship, how it made us look before our Father, and what it took away from us in our relationship with our Father. And we were both in tears. By the time the evening was over, Rochelle had already, with tears running down her face, gone out and thrown away her pipe and her lighter and her tobacco and all the stuff. And I'll have you know, I went out and threw away a $150 made in Dublin, Ireland, silver mounted pipe when I threw mine away. And that, like the education I got, I count as done, because that's not important. What is important is the Word of God and obeying it when it tells you to do differently than you want to. And I threw that bad boy away and the rest of the tobacco, and we quit that night. Well, people under duress, you know, they can do anything. But what is really the miracle of all and the beauty of all is every time I've ever quit, which is probably 8 or 10 times in my lifetime, I have always been plagued enough to start again or to add a substitute. And this time I never, ever desired to smoke or have tobacco around me again, nor did Rochelle. We have never thought about it, and I didn't ask her about this before I got on the radio tonight to talk to all my brothers and sisters here. But the truth is, in the old days when I would quit doing something, you know, and the thought would come on me, gee, it'd be nice to have a puff on a pipe or a cigarette or whatever, I don't get those thoughts to start with. But if any vision of using tobacco comes in my mind, I think of my father. I don't think, no, I don't want that, or I don't think of the thing, visualize it in my mind and throw it away. I just simply think your father doesn't want you to. That passes within a moment. It isn't like a thought. It doesn't last as long as it took me to say it. But yet I know that, and it's gone. There's no cravings. There's no, gee, I wish I hadn't quit or anything about it. There's no use for that. And the fun part about it is my body doesn't feel like it used to when I would quit, and I was still dragging around all that junk in my lungs and couldn't breathe. My breathing is better than it's been in years. I mean, everything is going back to normal a lot quicker than it normally does. And, of course, since we live in the Rocky Mountains, we do have one or two steep spaces here, like our front yard or our backyard, that tend to make you have to walk up and downhill. So all things considered, that was a wonderful, wonderful little miracle that we got that night. And I want to thank David, and I want to thank the elders, and I want to thank everybody who plans the program that put that together, because that was one of the most wonderful things that's happened to me in years. And the neat thing that I have found, this has been our church for almost 3 years now. We have attended the Bible studies on Sundays and on Wednesdays. And I have learned about this really neat book called the Bible. Now, funny enough, I was raised to go to church every Sunday, but I never learned any doctrine because I was just a little kid when I was taken out of the environment of going to church on Sundays. So I learned what you learn in Sunday school, in the Methodist church, and in the Baptist church. I never learned the doctrine of that church. And then for 24 years plus in the Air Force, I became a Lutheran. I was baptized in the Lutheran church. And I knew its doctrine only because you had to take catechism, which sounds familiar to another big gang of people that are between you and the Lord. And so I went to chapel in the military. And there's no real doctrine to that, because as long as you're a Protestant, you can give any kind of Protestant service. So you may have a Baptist. I did actually have a Baptist minister doing the Lutheran service for a while, and I assisted in doing that service and became the cantor for some of it and so on, and helped him with it. So it was kind of like Lutheranism according to Michael for a while, because my wonderful, wonderful Baptist friend there had no idea what Lutheran people did in the service, but he came through okay. So I want to thank our ministry. I want to thank our ministry, but I want to thank my Lord and Savior, and I want to thank His Father, my Father, our Lord God, the great I Am, for what He has done in our lives and what He is doing in our lives, even as He is taking apart that which He built.
Amen. Amen. So neither you nor Rochelle had any withdrawals, huh?
None. Zero.
Praise
no
God.
Desire to start again.
You know,
and
it's
you know,
it sure beats trying to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I did a lot of that. Being in the military, I went from in the Air Force where guys were doing drugs and launching airplanes, because they just came back from Vietnam where it was socially acceptable to do drugs, to if you didn't smoke, you just go outside while I smoke, to commander's calls where the commander would buy 2 kegs of beer, they would show the half-hour film, and then you had to stay until the beer was all drank because he didn't like taking back half-full kegs, to where the smokers had to go outside, to where the military has gone to almost a non-smoking military because of the pressure of the changes are being made. Well, it ain't so. They sneak around and smoke someplace else. You know, you can't quit. You cannot just quit. You can't just, you know, tell a bunch of people to be moral all of a sudden and get them to do it. They need help, you know. And so those things never worked. But I saw that in my time in the service, from transitions of, you know, drinking in the end of the party there. If you went to see the first sergeant, there was a bottle of whiskey in his lower left drawer, and if you got offered a drink, you weren't in trouble. And if he didn't offer you one, you were. Kind of sounds like a John Wayne movie, doesn't it?
Well, you know, the neat thing about salvation is that the Lord works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He gives us the desires that He wants us to have. And you can, by your own self-will, eventually overcome to conquer this thing, or you can let the Lord do it. You know,
but you know, David, what I found was I could quit the smoking, but I could never quit the desire to start back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I didn't smoke for 13 years, every day of that 13 years, I wanted to have a cigarette and just forced myself not to because the evil of its nature was still in me.
And of course, that makes you miserable, doesn't it?
Very.
Well,
very in large capital letters.
The thing about what Jesus did, though, is he not only dealt with the outward action of sin, he dealt with the inward lust for sin. In other words,
exactly.
He took that out of us. And if we know the real gospel, that he made an exchange at the cross, he gave us his life, his desires, his blessings, and he took away our sin and our failure and our foolishness, and he made an exchange. He nailed all of what we had on the cross, and he gave us everything that he was, including the desire not to smoke. And all the other desires that he has, he gave us that gift. He worked in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Many people think that they don't really have any hope other than to endure this terrible time of withdrawals if they give up smoking. And they don't even want to face that. Or else they're willing to go to a lot of other means in order to appease that smoking demon, you know.
You bet. And you know, the Lord did
spirit.
Not charge me a penny.
Yeah, he don't. That's it. That is
it. Didn't
it
cost me a penny
when it comes
for this
from God,
method of quitting.
When it comes from God, because of your faith, it's free. That's what grace is all about. It's unmerited favor. It is free. People many times think that they have to earn this by. Again, you know, just gritting their teeth and bearing through it until the chemical dependency that's in their bloodstream gives up, you know. But what we did, if I'm not mistaken, Michael, you correct me if I'm wrong, we commanded the spirit and nicotine to loose people in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's different.
That's different. A lot of people don't know how many people are in bondage to a spirit that's called nicotine that controls their desire in that regard, you know.
And as we say, that varmint took to his heels and left.
Yeah.
That's some of my native West Virginese.
Yeah.
Miss Rochelle, would you like to say anything?
Please do.
Hey, please do. You can give a moment. I would like to say this, and I'm going to hand this to Rochelle, and then we'll sign off. But I would like to come back on and talk about the Lord in my lifetime and how I was treated by God for all the years that I have lived and how he has given me so many wonderful things even before I knew it was him doing it.
Well, that sounds good, too. Do you want to do that tonight?
Well, I could, but let me give you Rochelle first.
Okay.
Greetings, brother.
Bless you.
Greetings, thank you. I just want to tell my brothers and sisters out there how much I appreciate them and how much I appreciate all the testimonies that are being shared every week. They're such an encouragement to me. And the Lord has just really used a lot of the testimonies to strengthen my faith. But I just want to praise God because he is so good and he is so faithful. And Michael shared pretty much my whole testimony. I wouldn't have much to add to that except that one of the things that smoking had caused for me was this distance between me and my father. I would go to pray and want to stand in faith believing God for something, and I'd see it in the Word. But I had this thing between me and Father God. You know, this smoking, this sin had come between us. And I couldn't stand in faith because, you know, the enemy would come in and he'd say, well, you know, God's not going to answer your prayers. You know, you're in sin. And, you know, you're going to get cancer and God's not going to heal you because you're in disobedience. And, it just came between me, my relationship with the Lord, and also between my brothers and my sisters because, you know, I didn't want to be around brothers and sisters because I knew that they could see that I was smoking and that it may be a stumbling block to them or, you know, that they would judge me. And I was just very, very ashamed. But I just praise God because when I heard the word and the Lord's anointing was upon it, I mean, that, when you were teaching about smoking, the Lord convicted me and I just knew that that was the Lord's timing and that I was going to be set free. And at that moment in time, it did not matter to me in the back of my mind, you know, what the withdrawals might be. I just was not going to be disobedient to my Father anymore. And I just submitted to the Word of God and when you prayed, I agreed with you in prayer and accepted deliverance. And like Michael said, there just hasn't been any withdrawal symptoms. Haven't thought about it. Don't care to think about it. In fact, I got tickled because I used to, you know, go about my day and be working, cleaning house or whatever. And I think, well, I'm going to go take a smoke break. And one day I looked at Michael, I said, I'm going to take a smoke break. No, I'm going to go take a praise break. And so I just had this extra time in the middle of my day just to stop and praise God or stop and pray. And it's just been great. And I just want to praise God for it. He is just so awesome.
Amen. Amen. I know that there's probably a lot of people out there that question, you know, what we're saying today about smoking, you know, about whether it even is against the will of God at all, you know. But I'll point out something to you. The Bible says, for every transgression, there's a just recompense of reward. In other words, you can tell by the fruit of something whether it's really a sin or not. And, you know, the Bible tells us very plainly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 17, it says, if any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which of course means separate, you know, from the world and from sin. And such are ye. So the Lord doesn't want us to do anything that would destroy this temple. And yet, Christians do this constantly. They, you know, it doesn't seem to make any difference when it comes to the fruit of smoking as far as the emphysema and the cancer and the so on and so on. You know, it doesn't seem to make any difference whether a person's a Christian or not. And I think it's because, you know, the Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Uh-huh. In other words, your conscience tells you what is sin, and God, according to Romans 14, holds you responsible to your conscience. And you really don't have to look out there very far to see what the fruit of smoking or alcohol or many other addicting drugs and so on and so forth is. You just look at what it does to people. I've forgotten now, but the statistics are horrendous of how many people, Christian or not, die of smoking every year. And, of course, that lets you know that you are destroying the temple of God. It is something that God does not want you to do. You are seeing the recompense that Hebrews speaks about. You know, for every sin, there is a recompense, a natural and normal curse involved in it. As Deuteronomy 28 speaks about the curse, you know, he says, if you'll hearken unto the words of the Lord your God, then I'll send you the blessings. And if you don't, then I will send you the cursings. And these are the cursings. And he gives a great big long list in 28 and 29 about these curses. And there is a curse upon smoking. It's very obvious. to deny it is to, you know, just not really be thinking in reality at all. You know, the curse upon smoking is killing multitudes of God's people. And so it's obvious that the Lord doesn't want us to do that. And if anybody's out there listening and you want to get free from it, well, just listen very carefully unto the Rumbaugh's testimony here. They put their faith in the Lord as their Savior. Salvation in the New Testament is the Lord taking away from you the nature of sin, the desire of sin. That's what it is. It's Him taking it away from you because you exercise faith towards Him. Now, what we did that night, I'm sure, I don't remember exactly, but I'm sure that what we did is we went to God in faith, trusting that He is able to deliver anyone who is smoking and wanted through repentance to be rid of it, you know. And when we go to Him by faith, it's His power, it's not your power. Many people think, okay, God doesn't want me smoking, so now I'm going to have to do what I can to resist this, you know. Well, you need to stop and think that of how many times the Lord saved you from certain sins by simply taking the nature of it out of you, taking the want to out of you. And He loves to do that because then you know it's His power and not yours. So here's the point. You can, anyone out there can, totally walk away from smoking, alcohol, any other drug addiction. Because these are drug addictions, folks. You say, I'm not a drug addict, I smoke. Well, you are a drug addict. That is a drug. Okay. You can walk away from any of that. And I want to tell you why. Because of the gospel. The gospel is the good news that He took away your sin. He bore it upon the cross. He already took it away. John said, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And now we look back on it because the Scripture says He took away our sins. Romans chapter 6. The great thing is, when you go to Him by faith and you reckon yourself to be dead unto sin but alive unto God, as Romans 6 commands us to do, you're reckoning that this doesn't live in you anymore. And that now you have the nature of Jesus Christ in you, and He doesn't have any problem with smoking. You know, what did Paul teach us in Galatians 2? It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Gave Himself for me. He made an exchange. He gave us His life, and He took away our old life. Now, you can have that by faith, or you can just struggle. And I want to tell you, Michael made a good point. It was free. You know, no patches, no anything. It's free. Listen, the Lord's salvation is free. It's because it's by grace. What is grace? Unmerited and unearned favor of God. You see, it is free. Okay. So,
and when Jesus Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. It is just so amazing.
Yes. And you experienced that. And many people out there have experienced this in one form or another. They just may have not applied it to addictions like smoking or alcohol or drugs or whatever, you know. They may not have applied it to that. But they know that Jesus set them free from this habit or this sin or that sin, and they're just amazed that He was able to totally take that out of them. They don't have the want to anymore. Well, you know what? God wants to finish that all the way up until the end. He wants to constantly take out you and put in Him. That's the whole point. That's why He tells us to behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, not ourselves. And that we will be transformed into that same image from glory to glory if we can do that. So what we need to do is see that it's no more I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And He doesn't have a problem with smoking. He's not addicted to anything. And so he takes the nature of it. See, a lot of people think that God just deals with the action of the sin. But that's not what the Bible's talking about. It's talking about Him taking away the nature of the sin. The nature is what causes you to do the action. He hates the nature of the sin. Many times He deals with us in order to get rid or cause us to come to the place of repentance concerning the nature of the sin, you see. Not just stopping the action. You can stop the action and still be an addict. as multitudes of people know. And that's miserable. The Lord don't want you. He came to give you life and give it more abundantly, you see. He doesn't want you to be miserable the rest of your life because you're just not doing it, stubbornly not doing it, you know. No, he wants to totally take it out of you. That's what salvation is. Salvation covers all of that, you see. So,
well, we don't serve a wimpy God.
No.
We do not serve a wimpy God, and there, his hand is not too short, and he can deliver us and set us free from anything. We just have to be willing to be made willing, and then just believe and walk in faith that God will do what he says in the word that he will do, and that he is who he says he is.
Yeah,
and, I just can't praise God enough. I'm just so excited. And I just see in the last, especially the last 3 years as we've been getting the word in us, that God really is changing us from glory to glory. And, it just seems like every day when I look in the mirror, I see more of Jesus Christ looking back. And I praise God. I just can't praise him enough. And I'm just, he'll do it for anybody. He's not a respecter of persons. What he did for Michael, what he did for me, he will do for anybody. As long as you cry out to him and ask him and believe that he will do it.
Amen. And it's grace. It's unmerited favor. We go to him by faith, and for faith he gives grace. We have access into this grace through faith. We have access into this grace wherein we stand. And so if you want God's grace to do it, that's much easier than you doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
much easier.
Now, because of the gospel, here's the thing. Well, when can I do it? Well, you can do it any time you want to, and I'm going to tell you why. You can throw this stuff down by faith, whatever it is, whatever addiction it is. You throw it down by faith that he took it away from you, not by faith that you're going to have to struggle and grit your teeth and, you know, all these things. Now there may be some of that as you walk by faith, you know, holding fast the confession of your hope that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. But because of the gospel, you can throw that stuff down and walk away from it. Why? Because the good news that Jesus already took it away from you.
Amen.
Is the truth. And since he's already taken it away, then your actions of faith will bring it to pass. You see, you're basing what you're doing on the word. It's just like when you come to the Lord. You know, you begin to confess him as your Savior. Why? Because you heard the gospel and you believed it. Well, what does he want to save you from? Everything. You just stepped through the door. You just got your toe through the door. You see? Everything. He's your Savior, spirit, soul, body, circumstances, you know. And what he did is he replaced the very nature of sin in you, the very lust for sin, the very destructive habits in you. He replaced them with himself, you know. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He actually did that. He gave us himself. You know? Self is synonymous with soul in the scriptures. And you know,
David, can I share something?
Sure.
I have heard you say that so many times over the last few years, and I never understood. I mean, with my mind, I knew it was true, but I never understood how God could just change our nature like that, because I never experienced it. You know, I just come from a background of work. You know, I had to strive to do it. The more I suffered, the better Christian I was. And I never understood that. And this has just been the simplest thing. And there are other things in my life that I'm standing and believing God for. As you know, Michael and I, we're diagnosed with some illnesses years ago. We've been walking faith, standing on scriptures. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. And we stand in faith, and we're tested. We have days, you know, when we don't when we have feelings that go contrary to that, and we cast them down in the name of Jesus, and we stand on the Word of God. But with being delivered from this smoking, it was just totally different. And I really am understanding how God just has totally removed that desire to sin and replaced that with Himself.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And now, any of you out there, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. He'll do it for you, too. You can throw it down. I do want to tell you, though, sometimes you're not just dealing with human nature. And particularly when it regards to addictive habits, they can be just immoral habits that are addictive, or they can be drug addicts, addictions, or whatever. Sometimes this is demon spirits. The Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Many times addictions come from that. My experience has been, and I'm not one of those guys that believes in a demon behind every bush, but I have dealt with them over the years and have cast them out and noticed that when they go, they take their nature with them. Quite often, their nature is gone. And the part in you where they have opened you up to these addictions can go right out the window with them. And so sometimes you need to command these spirits to go. And there is a spirit of nicotine. And there is a spirit of alcoholism. And there is drug addict spirits that take control over you. And do you know what? It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, the Bible says in Mark 16, these signs will accompany them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Now, some people, of course, think Jesus was just kind of, tickling the fancy of the people in his day that believed in demons. No, he cast out demons. It's just that simple. And of course, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so he does it today, too. And believers do it today, too. You know, Jesus said, these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. So you have the authority. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. You have the authority over addicting habits of any kind. Many times, you don't have to know the name of the demon. You just need to know his nature, and you just command him to go. You don't necessarily have to have a discerning of spirits. You don't necessarily have to get him to name his name. That works sometimes very well, and I've done that too. All you have to do is know that addicting nature and command that spirit controlling that to leave your life in the name of Jesus. Gather some spirit-filled Christians around you and let them pray over you and command it to go. Don't pray for it to go. There's nobody in the Bible ever did that. You take authority. You command it to go. Every example we have in there is for that. You take authority. You command it to go in the name of Jesus. So a lot of times, smoking is just that. If it's not a habit you can just throw down easily, then you need to not only go to the Lord by faith and claim the benefits of the kingdom by faith, but turn and command that spirit to go from your life in the name of Jesus. And praise be to God. He will honor your faith. And those demons, they know when you know you have authority over them. That's why you studied scriptures, is to find out you have authority over your enemies. You can command them to go in Jesus' name. They have to obey you. Listen to me. They have to obey you. When you know they have to obey you, they know they have to obey you. You see, that's the point. Have you ever seen how a dog kind of reads your emotions? You know, and if you got fear, he reads that fear, and so on and so forth. Well, demons are the same way. They know whether you know, whether you have authority or not. And if you don't believe it, they don't believe it. And your actions will give you away. You know, your your hesitancy will give you away, you know. And but let me say this: baby Christians cast out demons. The only qualification is to be a believer to cast out demons. That's what the Bible says, Mark 16. Are you a believer? Do you believe that Jesus passed this authority on down to us? Now he told his disciples, he sent his disciples out, and he told them to cast out demons. And then, when he was leaving, he said, and everything I commanded you, you pass it on to them. That's what he told them to do. So therefore, this was supposed to be passed on down to us, all the way down to our day. And if it hadn't been for religion, it would have been passed on down to us in our day. So, you know, a third of Jesus' ministry was casting out demons. And so today, and he sent his disciples out. They did the same thing. He gave them simple instructions. You know, all they knew was Jesus gave them authority over the demons, and they went out to do it. Well, he gave it to you, too. Okay, so you command them to go. And if you've got a particularly ornery addiction, in some cases, that's the problem. In fact, I'm going to tell you, in a lot of cases, that's the problem. Just command it to go in the name of Jesus, you know. As a matter of fact, we can do that right now. And I believe that's what happened with Michael and Rochelle, that we gave that command. We didn't pray and ask God to take the cigarettes away from them. We commanded it to go in the name of Jesus. You know, by the way, if you read the Gospels and you read the book of Acts, you will see that that's what they did. Even the disciples, they knew they had authority because it was written. It is written. You see, do you know you have authority? Well, get in the Word of God and find out who you are in Christ, because the demons tremble when you know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, well, they're not worried in the slightest. They go to church even. You know, they don't have a problem with going to church. So let's just pray, and then we'll command these demons to go, all right? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that it's already done through him. He already saved us and delivered us out of the power of darkness, Colossians 1 and 13 says. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that it's an accomplished fact that the reason we can be your ambassadors here on earth is because you have already spoken the word and you cannot lie. And if we're delivered out of the power of darkness, then we're delivered and we stand on it. We speak it. We command them to obey your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come against you, spirits of nicotine, keeping God's people in bondage to this stinking habit. We command you to loose them in Jesus' name and go from them in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid your authority in his name, in the name of Jesus. We forbid your authority. He said what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And we bind you. We forbid you. We forbid your authority. And alcoholism, we forbid your authority over God's people who have repented and believe in the Lord as their Savior. We forbid your authority. We command alcoholism to go from these people in Jesus' name. We command it to go. And drug addiction, go in Jesus' name. We forbid your authority. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And as your word says, Lord, this honor have all of his saints. Lord, from the least of us to the greatest, Lord, you've given us authority over the powers of darkness, and we take it today over these addictions. We thank you for the many testimonies out there of healing and deliverance and blessing that you're bringing forth. We just receive it in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Amen. He's a good God, isn't he?